Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. If you're new to the channel, consider subscribing and smashing that thumbs up. Download your favorite scary story on my Apple Podcast or Spotify, Tales from the Dark Forest. A shout out to my patrons and my channel members. Now let's get spooky. My goal was to record a solo album at the cabin by the lake. I'm certainly not the first musician to do this. Google Cabin Fever and see for yourself. The cabin was built by my great-grandfather and has remained in the family ever since. Naturally, it's been spruced up over the years. It now has running water, a high-power generator for electricity, plus an indoor toilet. A recent addition, after a bat got tangled in my ex-wife's hair while she was having a tinkle. Which leads me to why I came out here in the first place, in the middle of Nowheresville, Ontario, in the cold of the early spring. My marriage ended 2 weeks before Christmas. My wife dumped me, then she made off with her younger and more handsome coworker Carl. I hate Carl, but I disagree. Needless to say, I was at a crossroads. Thus, I started writing songs. Once I scratched out a first couple songs, the floodgates opened and the rest followed accordingly. By the end of January, I'd composed enough songs for a solo acoustic album. I promised myself I wouldn't call the album Cabin Fever. I brought two acoustic guitars, my Gibson 100 and the vintage Harmony circa 1960. Which I used for open tuning and slide guitar. I also brought some hand drums and shakers, a plethora of high-quality microphones and my laptop, plus a bottle of single malt scotch and plenty of grub. It's a 3.5-hour drive straight north. The cabin is so far north off the beaten path that Google doesn't even know of its existence. I've done this drive more times than I can count, but it's never easy. I got lost on my way up, and not for the first time. Eventually, after doubling back, I found the correct side road and made it just before sunset. Not a good way to start. Things were about to get worse. The cabin was eerily quiet, darkness and impending, so I quickly got to work. First, I lit the kerosene lanterns, and then started the generator and checked to see if the toilet was working. It was. There was enough chopped wood and kindling to last all week if needed. I fired up the wood stove. The cabin warmed up wonderfully. Then I unloaded my gear and put the food away. Finally, I could relax. I sighed as my buttocks hit the familiar feel of the old leather couch. A lifetime of memories surrounded me. Mom's rocking chair cradled in the corner. Dad's Remington hanging dutifully on the adjacent wall, next to the mounted antlers. The collection of the family photos on the mantelpiece, including a picture of me with my beloved grandmother, taken at this very cabin. And a wedding photo of my ex-wife in her stunning gown, somewhere off on the coast of St. Lucia. I rested my feet on the coffee table and sipped my drink, trying not to tear up. Unfortunately, my mind scurried down the wrong rabbit hole, and I was lured into a deep depression. My life was in shambles. This was rock bottom. Filled of grief, I found solstice in the bottle until sleep took me under its spell. Day 1. I awoke to strange noises. What the heck is that? I rubbed my eyes. My mouth was as dry as a musician's sense of humor. My head hurt. I needed water and Tylenol pronto. I'm too old for this, I reminded myself. No more booze, I promised, and I had an album to record. I made a hearty breakfast of bacon and eggs and strong coffee. I ate ravenously. All the while, the scraping noises continued. Were they coming from the lake? This cabin was built on a peninsula. It's completely surrounded by water and tall trees. This type of solitude can induce claustrophobia and/or agoraphobia in certain individuals. This cabin certainly has a dark history in that regards. My grandmother committed suicide here back in the 80s. It was tragic. She too was a musician. I should check that out, I grumbled, while grabbing my coffee mug. Better grab the gun on my way out, just in case. As always, the view was stunning. The soft morning sun sparkled over tops of trees, which provide plenty of shade in the afternoon. The deck is cozy, with enough room to sit and read a paperback while enjoying the generous backdrop. Beyond the deck lurks McNimmy Lake. With squinted eyes, I scanned the ashen lake. Aside from the blistering breeze sweeping up pieces of ice snow and the gaggle of Canadian geese bobbing about their business, the lake was deserted. The sound sent chills down my spine, as if warning me not to stick around for the week. When I retreated to the safety of the cabin, the sound followed me. Then it hit me. The lake ice was rubbing against itself. It's thawing. This is normal. Lakes do that this time of year. This should have been obvious. I struggled my paranoia off as jitters. I was in solitude, with no internet, surrounded by a lake that's making strange noises. I'll get over it. Time to get to work. Having set up shop in the living room, I placed a microphone in close proximity to my guitar, and three more in various spots around the cabin, including one strategically placed on the ceiling, hoping to capture the full spectrum of sound. I placed the vocal mic in front of me and tuned the guitars, ready to roll. With the instruments and recording equipment in check, I went about setting up the cameras. My iPhone provided a close-up of my guitar work, while my GoPro captured the full performance as well as the ambience of the rustic cottage. It was slow going at first. My fingers were clumsy, my voice lacking confidence. I couldn't find my groove. It's not every day one finds themselves alone in a 100-year-old log cabin, encapsulated by a creaky lake. My voice and my fingers needed time to warm up. By the third cup of coffee, things started to improve. It was tiresome, but by the end of the day, I managed to record three songs: Hard Luck and Trouble, Country Livin' Whiskey Drinkin', and a spiteful little number called So Long to Know You. Nightfall came. After enjoying a steak dinner with some scotch, I retired to the couch. So far, so good. Day 2. I awoke with a terrible sweat, shaking. Nightmares dissolved into my mind like ice cubes slipping into a cool drink on a warm day. I forced myself out of bed, urinated, then went straight for the coffee maker. Coffee in hand, I went over to the deck, ready to relax and have a cup. Before I could nestle into my lawn chair, however, something weird happened. A brisk breeze brushed the back of my neck, sending a searing shot coursing through my body, spilling my coffee in the process. What the? Something whizzed past me. I wasn't alone. I went for my gun and didn't dawdle. Then I searched the premises, gun in hand, looking for any intruders. It's a small plot of land. It didn't take long. The snow on the ground had recently melted. In its place came a mixture of cracky mud and slippery slosh. Chomping alone in the cold, sodden soil made me miserable. My feet were soaked. Then I noticed the track marks. The tracks were unlike anything I had seen. Long, curvy claws at the tip, cut deep and wide, bear-like, except twice as large and spaced further apart. Judging from the depth of them, the thing was gargantuan. I scratched my head. Something about the track marks seemed wrong. I returned to the cabin and fetched my phone. I wanted to document them, so when I'm back in Wi-Fi, I could search them up. The problem was, when I returned, the tracks were gone. I was bewildered. This was a different version of outside. Moments ago, the morning was full of songbird. Not anymore. I rubbed my eyes in disbelief. I gotta get out of here, I said, not trusting the sound of my voice. Don't be ridiculous, I answered. I just got here. I was right. I marched back inside the cabin and put the shotgun back in its rightful spot on the wall. I poured myself a fresh cup and drank my coffee in quiet desperation. Something wasn't right. The air in the cabin was too thick. The silence was deafening. I had nearly forgotten my true purpose for coming here. My eyes glanced at the old Winchester next to the antlers, and remained there for an uncomfortable length of time. Too weary to eat, I unlatched my acoustic guitar case and pulled out my Gibson, placing it neatly on the stand. When I opened the other case, it was empty. I panicked. That old harmony was irreplaceable. I ran outside, gun in hand, murder in mind. But of course, nothing was out there. I fled to the cabin, ready to give up and go home. To my surprise, my old harmony was sitting on the stand next to the Gibson, gleaming. Impossible. Had it always been there? I shrugged. With shaky hands, I strummed a chord. It was in tune. Reluctantly, I fired up the laptop and went to work. The first song I recorded was a Delta Blues number called Hammer Song, both a tribute to Hammertown, Ontario, as well as a nod to American folk legend John Henry. The song came out swimmingly. I tried my hand at it again, but nothing beat that first take. The blues licks were ferocious. The vocals drenched in gut-wrenching soul. I was pleased. So much so that I had awoken my appetite. I plundered through with some bacon and eggs, then I made a rough mix of the song. I needed something special so that I could add some shakers and a djembe for support. That's when I noticed the applause. At first, I thought it was the percussion, but upon further review, it was more than that. Underneath my voice and guitar was an actual audience. For real. They were clapping along, cheering even. Even catcalling from time to time. I pulled up the files from my laptop, looking for visual clues as to where the sound was coming from. But I found none. Instead, my laptop slammed shut. I leapt out of the chair, screaming in surprise.
"Who is here?" I shouted. "Show yourself!"
Someone was in the cabin. It was undeniable at this point.
"Do you want me to leave?"
I regretted asking this. Truth be told, I wanted to stay. I had work to do, not to mention my grand final. I closed my eyes and took a deep breath. Then I grabbed my Gibson and strummed an open G chord. It sounded like an ocean. I restarted my computer, pressing record, then began picking through a tune called Sorry Again, a sappy fingerstyle song I wrote shortly after my marriage ended. Again, I nailed it on the first take. As I finished the final chord, I was surprised to see the glow of the setting sun peeking through the adjust window. I checked the time. 7:51 p.m.
That's
not right, I told myself. But it was. Apparently, time was not on my side. The day was spent in hours, but the music was effortless. After blending the guitar with my vocals, I pressed play and immediately was awestruck. My voice was divine, my guitar an orchestra. That said, I didn't know what to make of the voices. With the volume turned up on my headphones, you could hear them chattering amongst themselves at the quiet parts, singing along to their favorite parts. Judging from the recording, you'd think I was performing at a live audience. At least they're applauding, I said in a wobbly voice. I'd hate to see what would happen if they were displeased. By now it was pushing 11 p.m. As ludicrous as it was, I made some canned ravioli and washed it down with a single malt scotch. Just a little, I promised myself. No more hangovers. I added another log to the fire, then I slipped into a deep and troublesome sleep. Day 3. Something startled me awake, a noise coming from outside. I'd been having a nightmare. In it, I was being chased through the woods by a grisly monster. Bizarrely, the monster was singing, but I didn't recognize the song, nor did I understand the words. Those sinister-sounding syllables, however, stayed with me as I stooped over the couch, scared shitless. After emptying my bladder, I grabbed the gun and trembled outside. The air was basement damp and chilled me to the bone. A copse of soggy black spruces bordered the semi-frozen lake, the leaves righting themselves from last night's rainfall. To my horror, those inhuman claw marks emerged from the lake, making great strides leading to the back of the cabin. I cocked the gun, then sprinted around the deck, fully expecting a confrontation. The deck was empty, save for a paperback resting on the crooked lawn chair and a coffee stains dripping down its side. The lake cranked out a creepy sound, startling me, then something nuzzled the back of my neck. I gotta get out of here, I snapped. I rushed inside and began the daunting task of packing up. Yet as I was putting my guitars away, something prevented me from doing so. I couldn't bring myself to leave. Instead, I re-listened to the work I had done on day one. The songs were extraordinary. That said, the mysterious audience was impossible to ignore. I was furious. Someone or something was hijacking the mixes. My mind jumped to many conclusions, each scarier than the last. Ultimately, I shrugged it off. What choice did I have? I tuned up the old harmony and cut the sixth song, a blues number using dadgag tuning called Fell in Mud. This was my most difficult song to play. Originally, my plan was to record the guitar first, then overdub the vocals afterwards, but I decided against it. Instead, I recorded it in one take. Unbelievable. I was stunned by my performance. My voice was gnarly, full of emotion, my finger-picking precise and with purpose. The audience filled in the quiet parts. The idea that I wasn't alone was indeed freaking me out, but the results spoke for themselves. So, with butterflies swirling in the pit of my stomach, I reached for my Gibson, flat pick in hand, looking to keep the momentum going. I tuned up, then pressed record. I strummed a G7 sus chord, letting it sustain. Then, I leaned into the open riff of The Devil I Know, Someone Spoke My Name. I jumped out of my seat. My blood went cold. I hate being interrupted. "Who's there?" I spat. My voice fell to the floor with a thud. I knew it wasn't safe here, but the allure of my tobacco-burst Gibson guitar was irresistible. I sat back down, took a deep breath, and hit record. Sure enough, just as I started the riff, a voice spoke inside my headphones. This time, I kept playing. Although my hands were shaky, I managed to complete the song. It wasn't perfect, so I did another take, then another. With each take, I was bombarded with bellows and hollers from the omnipresent audience. After 9 tries, I finally got it. Warily, I mixed the vocals with the blended guitars until I produced a pleasing sound. Upon playback, those spectators were as pesky as ever. "I'll have to fix that when I get home," I said, stone cold terrified. Having eaten dinner and tidied up, I loaded some wood into the stove before collapsing onto the couch. I was spent. Darkness engulfed me. The walls were closing in, the air difficult to breathe. Panic turned to despair. Would anyone notice if I disappeared? Would anyone care? No, I was insignificant. The world would go on without me, as if I had never existed. The wretchedness of my personal life came flooding back. All the while, my eyes fixated on the shotgun on the wall. "You came here to kill yourself," I reminded myself. I nodded. My plan was to go out with a bang. I'll make my final record, a masterpiece that the world would remember me by. Then I'll place the barrel of the shotgun into my mouth and blow my brains to smithereens, Cobain style. "You're not going to chicken out, are you?" I asked. I shook my head. "Good. Stick to the plan." Footsteps startled me. They were approaching me at an alarming speed, crunching through the crisp foliage, stopping outside the cabin door. My stomach turned over. I stifled a scream. Carefully, I tiptoed towards the gun and removed it from the rack. Whatever was behind that door better start praying.
"Who's there?"
I asked. At first, nothing happened. Then I heard the voice of a woman.
"Lucas,"
she whispered from all around me. I stumbled backwards as if drunk. I regained my composure, then pointed the gun at the door.
"Identify yourself, or I'll blow you straight to hell."
I gripped the gun with cold certainty. I was going to kill something. The voice whispered again, only this time more forcefully.
"Lucas."
"I know my own name."
Something crashed outside the door. That was all it took. The shotgun blast took a huge chunk of the door with it. I peeked outside. Nobody was there, nor were there any track marks, just mud and trees and lake. The moon was precarious. A lone wolf cried out, shattering the silence. The loneliness of the howling wolf made me weep. "I must be losing it," I said, wiping the stream of fresh tears from my face. I shook my head. That's not true. I had already lost it. That's what brought me out here in the first place. I regarded my decimated door with utter disdain. Then shivered. The bitter breeze wafted into the cabin was unwelcoming. Without a second thought, I fetched some tarpaulin and duct tape from the shed and went to work patching the door. It took the better part of an hour, but it did the trick. Fatigue held me in its tiresome grip. Meanwhile, my ears continued their incessant ringing from the weapon's disorderly discharge. I sprawled out onto the couch. And for the first time since arriving, I slept soundly. Day 4. I woke up well rested, ready to roll. A speckle of pale light springing into the cabin, as did a newfound sense of purpose. Nothing was going to stop me from completing this album. If I really push myself, I told myself while loading the coffee maker, I could finish the album today. This was true, but I would have to go hard. I could mix the rest of the songs at home. I opened my laptop, ready to get started, and was surprised by a crimson face flashing across the screen. Its primordial eyes sunk deep into its cheekbones. Its toothy snarl made me cringe. The laptop gurgled, then went blank. Suddenly, I was frozen with fear. My eyes darted towards the shotgun.
"You haven't lost the nerve, have you?" I asked myself in a chilling voice. I shook my head, then forced my attention away from the gun, and instead warmed my hands over the wood stove. My guitar case opened itself. Apparently, I should get back to work. The feeling that I was under a spell was irrefutable. I strummed on E chord. The sound filled the cabin with rich overtones. As though in a dream, I leaned into the next song, Eyes on You, a weepy ballad about how I met my ex-wife. Halfway through the tune, I felt something tugging forcefully at my leg. I sprung from my chair in surprise, ruining the take. I swore under my breath. Then I stared up again. Although the entire performance was fraught with stabs and jabs from the invisible bystander, with an endless chorus singing along with each chorus, I crushed it. Without a second thought, I placed my capo on the 7th fret and found my thumbstick. Then I ran through a fingerstyle blues with a gospel twist called After the Rain. It would prove to be another first taker. I was on a roll. The afternoon flew by like a midsummer's dream, and as the evening sun descended across the marmalade sky and the cascade of stars illuminated the world above me, I finished my album. Soon afterwards, I slept and was feasted upon by an endless cycle of nightmares. Day 5. Morning filled the cabin with light. As the memories of dreamlike monsters faded, I forced myself off the couch. The laptop came alive. The devilish face was speaking in tongues directly into my head, flashing on and off the screen, full of furious rage. I jumped so high that I cracked my head on the ceiling, biting my tongue in the process. In a frenzy, I slammed the laptop shut and started packing up. I spent the remainder of the day building a new cabin door. The shed had the appropriate tools, and lumber was not in short supply. It was a daunting task, but I didn't mind. It kept my mind off the evil spirits prowling about. Before leaving, I snapped a picture of the cabin, with the guitars leaning lazily against it. My beat-the-death harmony rested at the foot of the newly built log door, my Gibson next to it bursting with brilliance. A beam of radiant light spilled onto the guitars, giving them an angelic appearance. This would prove to be the album cover. I made it home by 9. With me came a new resolution, a reason to stick around a wee bit longer. I wanted to show off my new songs. I sent my recordings to the record company, who were over the moon. They thought the audience was a clever touch. I emailed the album art, telling them to edit to their liking. Then, using the footage from my iPhone and GoPro, I made a video for Hammersong. I gave the video a grainy tinge for ambience, blending close-up guitar bits with the full cabin experience. The dancing orbs in the background were barely noticeable. As I was uploading the video onto YouTube, an email arrived. It was from the record company. "Great stuff, Lucas. Here's the finished album cover. Hope you like it. We certainly do. Big things ahead."
When I saw the album cover, I nearly died. They had cropped the pic and boosted the color, making the details much more intense. What caught my attention first was the name of the album printed in simple letters just below my name. Cabin Fever. Sign. Before I could wrap my mind around this anomaly, something else caught my eye. There was a face peering out from the crook of the window, transparent, as though photoshopped. The face was eerily familiar. I zoomed in and gasped. "This makes no sense," I muttered under my breath.
But then again, it made perfect sense. It was my grandmother.